In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I remember some years ago touring a great cathedral, and I'll never forget the opening words of the tour guide. He said, in the course of the day, hundreds of people tour and journey through this cathedral. Sometimes the number even goes into the thousands. And all of them find deep blessing, no matter the length or the level of their visit. He said, some will come and journey through this cathedral in the course of only 10 minutes. They will come through the front door and they will see Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the colors of the stained glass windows, the high ceilings. And they leave in just a few moments through the door of the transept off to the next destination in their whirlwind tour. But for the rest of their lives, though they may never return to this cathedral or to this country, he said they will talk about the day they toured this cathedral. And they will talk about their journey with intimacy and passion. And deep will be their blessing. Others, he said, will come, and for the 12 hours of the day that the cathedral is open, they will meditate and study and muse upon a few inches on the lower corner of one lower panel of one window. And at the end of the 12 hours, they will recognize that they would not even begin to plummet the depths of the few inches of holy depiction upon which they have gazed. I tell this because as we come to this ancient liturgy tonight, the vigil and the Feast of Easter, the highest feast of the church, no matter our length or level of celebration, our length or level of journey through this liturgy, there is deep blessing. The blessing of the vigil of Easter is unmeasured. And I use as the text for today's sermon the opening song, the overture of this liturgy, that tells of all the stories and all the symbols of the night to come. We call the exalted, Latin from the first word of the song, rejoice. The song is the paschal, that is the Passover, proclamation of praise of Easter. It is over 1,200 years old, and today it is virtually untouched, as it has been for 1,200 years. And Christian souls throughout these 12 centuries have been drawn to this song. We have been wooed to this song. We've been captivated and gripped by this song. And why is that? Because the song tells us who we are, even before we were. It tells us who we are, even before we were. I want to know a late middle-aged man who once told me the story of his adoption. He said, in my day, many parents didn't do what they do today. In my day, my parents did not tell me I was adopted until I was a grown man. Today, he said, parents often start the first day in great celebration and with creative ways to tell their children the wonderful story of their adoption. I did not know until I was grown, but my mother did an amazing thing, he said. My mother told me the story of my adoption throughout my growing up years without telling me it was about me. She told me a story about a little boy, baby boy who was left on the side of a road in a country far away. And people took him and saved him from the road and took him to an orphanage. And one day, a man and a woman came to the orphanage. And when they saw that baby, they knew that that baby was God's baby for them. They loved him from the first moment they saw him. And they wanted that baby as their son. He became their son, and he came to love them. He said, after I knew that that story was mine, I understood why all my life I was wooed to that story. I craved to hear my mother tell me that story. It was the story about him, even before he knew it was about him. The exalted, this wonderful song that we heard in the beginning of this liturgy, is a song about you and me, even before we were. It begins with the story of Moses and the story of the Exodus, centuries and centuries, thousands and thousands of years ago. when the people, Israel, God's beloved chosen people, were enslaved in Egypt. And they cried to God, and God heard their cries. And he said to Moses, Moses, go to the king of Egypt and say to him, let my people go. And Moses went to the king, but the king's heart was hardened. He would not let the people go. He was cruel to them. And so after a series of dramatic events, the heart and the soul of Pharaoh remained hardened. And so God instructed Moses to tell the people Israel to take a lamb, each to his household. And if a household was too poor, they could share with another home. And they were to take an unblemished lamb into the houses of Israel and to keep the lamb for 4 days. And after 4 days, kill the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost of each door. And then, at the moment of time, the angel of death came into the land of Egypt to kill the firstborn of all living, the only thing that could break the will of Pharaoh. But when it recognized the blood on the doorposts of the Israelites in those homes, it passed over their homes and they were saved. And they never forgot it. And they made it their commitment to teach that story to their children and their children's children and the children's children's children. And to this day, our Jewish brothers and sisters on Passover tell the story of God's salvation, tell the story of Moses and the Passover. But it's not just their story. By virtue of our creation, by virtue of God's love for us, by virtue of the symbol of our baptism, we are adopted. We are the adopted Israel of God. We, too, are God's beloved and God's chosen. And the love God had for those ancient Israelites is the love God has for you and me. Those Passover lambs told the story of us before we ever were. This is the night when God brought our fathers, the children of Israel, out of the bondage in Egypt, and led them through the Red Sea on dry land. This is the night. And then the exalted takes us by the hand, and she leads us away from the ancient figure of Moses and the story of those Passover lambs tonight. And she brings us to the historical story of Jesus Christ. A story about us, even before we were. And she tells us in the exalted that Jesus did for the people of his day, and he does for us what those lambs of old in Egypt did for the Israelites. That Jesus was the perfect man. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. And on Palm Sunday, he rode into the house of Israel. And he was kept for 4 days. And on the fourth day, he died. He was killed, and his blood was put on a cross. And forever and ever, the power, the sting, the permanence, the bond of death, the bond of hatred passes over that blood. Now, unlike the angel of death in ancient Egypt, death did come to Jesus. As we said in the Good Friday sermon, death did not skip over him, nor hatred, nor malice, nor fear, nor vulnerability. But the sting and the permanence and the bond of death did. And forever and ever, he made it so that the sum of all the horror in the world, the sum of all the hatred and tragedy, cannot even touch the love of God. The love, the death could not keep the love of God away. And Jesus lived through the resurrection. And if it is beyond our knowing to understand the blood of a cross or the story of the empty tomb and the mystery of the resurrection, all we can know is the story and the parables and the teachings and the person of Jesus. And that will be sufficient to know the love of God. And that is what tonight is all about. This is the night when Christ broke the bonds of hell and death and rose victorious from the dead. How wonderful and beyond our knowing, O God, is your mercy and loving kindness to us, that a son was given to relieve a slave. And then the song takes us to today. She takes us by the hand from the story of Jesus to where we live today, to our day, to this one fragment of time when you and I walk this earth, when we breathe and we live. And she tells us an amazing thing. She says the promises of those Passover lambs in Egypt, the promise of the Son of God, whose blood was put on the cross, who rose from the dead, these promises are for us. And then the exalted takes wild claims, offers us grand promises. Wickedness will be put to flight. Sin will be washed away. Innocence will be restored. Hatred and pride will be cast away. And in their places will come peace and concord. In our cynicism, in our pessimism, we often respond to such a thing with the reply, what? What? This world is full of wickedness. This world is full of sin. This world is full of hurt. This world is full of vulnerability. And we go away from the world in which we live, the success of this country, and we know others in other lands that live in a black hole of need and hunger and hurt. We're reminded of the old song of desperation. Oh, Lord, you place me in this world of time and space and missiles hurled. With eyes I've seen the ghetto gloom. With ears I've heard the sonic boom. Oh, man, cry out for breathing room. So where are those promises? The promises are there. The exalted tells us the love of God can overcome any tragedy and any sin and any pit that we can possibly imagine. That we, tapping into the love of God, can be that light that overcomes any darkness. You've heard the phrase, there but for the grace of God go I. The exalted tells us that we are the grace of God on this earth. The lives of the saints tell us the story. They faced some of the black holes of wickedness in their day. Black holes of poverty and pride and horror. But they were conduits of the love of God that overcomes the bonds and overcomes the permanence of any horror of any sin. And they stood as lights of the world in their generations. Yes, some of them lost their earthly lives. Some of them were tortured, but it didn't matter. They stood firm, and the love of God shone. And it proved to be all. And that is the promise of Christianity. That is the promise of Jesus Christ. Not that it all will be taken away from us. Not that hurt will skip over us. That in it all, that love will know no end. And that's why we call tonight holy. Holy is this night when wickedness is put to flight and sin is washed away. It restores innocence to the fallen and joy to those who mourn. It casts out pride and hatred, and brings peace and concord. How blessed is this night, when earth and heaven are joined, and we are reconciled with God.